Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Bikini and the Brain podcast. My name is Ashley Kaltwasser, and to my left is a man known as Adam Bonilla.
It already started. So, guys, this is an exciting podcast because you guys don't know because we missed 1 week on the podcasting uploads. But it's been 3 weeks since I've seen Ashley, 3 weeks since we've recorded. I feel good and refreshed and ready. And because we've only had 1 week off, I think, the entire, what are we up to, 110 podcasts? It's like maybe 2 weeks off. It's like 50, 100 something weeks.
I think there was a few weeks here and there when you were moving and one on Christmas. But I think there was a 2 week gap in between this one.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, we had a little error on one of them.
Yeah, one of the cars got we had a video, it was one of the cars got erased too, which was...
I was in Europe after that, so we couldn't redo it.
So here we are, but we have a good podcast for you today. Ashley just came back from her European tour.
Yes.
And we thought, you know, talking today about about the European tour, but two, about the opportunities that fitness can create and where you can end up and... Yeah.
Can we first address how you say tour?
Tour?
You said tour.
Tour.
Tour. You said it proper. I don't know how you do it with your accent. Tour.
Tour.
Tour. Tour.
How do you say it?
Tour.
You say it like ripping paper. Like you.
I guess it's me. Is it? I don't know. Tomato. Tomato. Tour. Tour.
Well, all right.
So. Anyway.
So, how was it, Ash?
Gosh, wow. What an experience. Very jet-lagged right now, but that's expected. It was so crazy, so exciting. I was busy the whole time. I competed twice during this tour, and I gave 4 seminars during this tour. Or was it 5? I don't know. I lost count. But I did 3 different countries, and now I'm back home and got a lot of memories and content to reflect on. So it was really, really good experience, and I'm glad I did it. You know, it's not every day you get to go to Europe. And it's been a while since I've been overseas or out of the country, for that matter, because the whole COVID thing just made everything so difficult. And now, you know, traveling is just now happening again. But just the hoops you have to jump through just to get yourself out of the country and into another one is crazy. The tests, the hoops, the paperwork, it's a mess. It's a lot of work. And you always gotta be careful you do everything correctly, because if not, you don't want to be, like, held up in a different country or anything like that. So, that was a very stressful part of it is, like, hopefully I filled out everything correctly and I'm good to go. I'm not going to get stuck here. That was like a, you know, big thing.
There's always the risk of popping positive on a test too, and then getting stuck for 14 days in a hotel.
True. Yeah. And, when I was in Romania, English was not a problem. A lot of people spoke it. In UK, obviously they speak English, but with cooler accents. But in Spain, however, that was a little difficult to get around. I was actually surprised because most people don't really speak English. So it was like, even to order a taxi, you had to like contact a Spanish speaking person to order the taxi for you. They didn't have Ubers there, but yeah, it was a good experience. You know, sometimes you just gotta go with the flow and, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, it's cool. Now after seeing, like, I really was having, what do they call it?
FOMO
when you were getting, I was like, man, I did want to go there, but luckily, the timing of me getting COVID was when you were out there. So it wouldn't have worked either way, even if I had to. So I'm glad I didn't plan on going, but I was like, man, I really want to be there. I wish I was there, you know, going to seminars and whatnot. And then I started seeing like how busy you were. And I was like, yeah, that's too much. I was like, I don't want to, that was too much going somewhere, doing 1 or 2 seminars. But I mean, man, you were all over the place.
Yeah.
So shout out to Lauren from Muscular Development and also from Kara from Angel Competition Bikinis, because they were they really were with you a lot. They did everything with you, took all that time off of work and were like just good tour guides and good friends out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lauren organized it all, so she was in charge of organizing the seminars and the flights and the travel, all that. And then Kara was my replacement stage mom, and she did a great job.
She
was so attentive and was like, Ashley, do you need anything? And I was like, you know, I asked her, I'm like, I just make sure I'm in the right place at the right time. And, and you know, she definitely did that and then some. So, you know, she's the creator of my suits, by the way, Angel Competition Bikini. So I always made sure my suits were on point. Yeah. She was a good stage mom.
Yeah, they're great. I've been using Angels, I think, for like 7 years or something like that now. Something like that. It's always been, never had any issues that weren't solved immediately. And I have had very, very few issues. So, like, it really, really, and it's usually because, like, someone lost way more weight than we thought or filled out, like, and then the suit didn't fit as good or something like that. And they're just like, they adjust it, send it right back. So it's pretty amazing. So thank you guys for that, for taking good care of her, Kara. I appreciate it. And for all the suit stuff you do.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have been able to do it without them, I swear, because it's so different from when I used to travel overseas. I used to do it all alone. It was no issue and I could figure it out. This time with all the extra steps, I would have been lost.
You'd have been Spanish. Just a little Spanish girl from now on because you can't get back.
There's so many things you have to do just to get, you know, over there. So it's like, I would have literally not been able to do this without them.
What if it didn't work out that way? Just like, we just lost you and like 2 years later, I was like at some show in Romania and I saw you on the street like doing
speaking fluent Romanian.
Doing cartwheels for coins and stuff. Like street, you're just a street like cartwheel girl. Couldn't get back at him. I couldn't get back. Like, that's so funny.
Yes.
But I think it's really cool that fitness created these opportunities. And, you know, without telling too much, you know, obviously in this scenario, because she was doing seminars, like, her flights were all covered, and it's just cool to see, hey, I can go to Europe for free, and I can go just by doing seminars and you know, do shows and earn money doing it. And it's just like, it's pretty cool to see this, that you can get there. And I think that that's something that we all need to look at who are competing or whatever you're doing in life, that, you know, there's opportunities if you just try really hard no matter what you do in life, as long as you're willing to work really, really hard. And anyone who sees Ashley knows she's working really, really hard. So I'm happy that you're getting those opportunities. You know, it's really cool.
Absolutely. I'm just a girl from Akron, Ohio. Never thought I would leave Ohio, like, you know? And here I am traveling the world. It's kind of crazy. So I think, like, a lot of people, when they think of competing, they don't necessarily think that those are some of the cool things you can do with it, right? Is an opportunity to go places and travel and see the world. But you can definitely make it the case, you know? Like, I've literally just been on a plane one time before competing, and that's it. And it was just to another state. But once I started competing, and then I got to go to all these different countries and see all these cool ways of living and different, you know, just different countries that I thought never would I ever have the chance to go to. Crazy stories, amazing experiences. Like, I got to go to places like Russia, India, Finland, Sweden, just Australia, New Zealand. I need to count how many countries I've been to, but it's such a great opportunity to travel and make memories. And a lot of times what you can do is, you know, compete and then stay a little bit extra for vacation. I know we did that back in 2018 in Japan.
Yeah.
So we stayed a few days extra and got to, you know, be tourists for a little bit. And we were already there.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite trip, I think. Korea was cool too, but Japan was definitely more fun because we had Nadeem as like a tour guide to like really help us too.
They had great snacks there.
Yeah, they did.
Great.
You had little tastes here and there.
Yeah.
So I think that talking today about it is we could talk about, you know, the opportunities that fitness creates and, you know, how your life is like, you know, significantly different because of it. Because I think there's a lot of people who are competing out there that don't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, at the gym, they're competing locally, but I mean, you could do so much, like so much, make so many friends. I mean, like even like maybe, you know, you might not be the next like Ashley Kottwalser, but even a lot of these bikini girls who are, you know, maybe not winning shows, but they're going to doing a bunch of different shows. A lot of them end up getting a sponsor that ends up paying for their flight and hotel and things like that. And then they're making friends along the way and making like lifelong friends and lifelong memories and going to these cool places. You know, and it's, you know, it's pretty cool to see like, hey, I just started lifting weights one day and now I'm, you know, traveling the world. Like, you know, at first it's going to be expensive on your dime. And then after that, it's like, oh, traveling the world on, you know, someone else paying for it, you know, a high tech helps and all these different things. So it's like really cool to just see where you can go with it, you know, whether it's coaching or competing or, you know, maybe you're taking pictures for the shows or doing videos for the shows. Like, I think actually Max was out there in Romania too, Phoebe's boyfriend, doing video. Like he does video content, really great. If you haven't seen him, he has really good video stuff. And he's traveling all over now too. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's really cool to see like how many people and how many different avenues you can go through too.
Right.
You know, supplements, apparel, like everything.
Totally. Right? Even Kara with the bikinis, right?
There you go.
She started a bikini company and look at her now. She sponsored the Romania show and she got to come with me and, you know, we got a lot of suit content and stuff. So that was like a kind of cool experience for her as well. I think she said she's going to like Thailand or something at the end of this month or something like that too for some seminars. So that's kind of cool. So it's another branch off of the industry, right? You just got to find your own little niche within the industry sometimes, even if it isn't being a competitor, it could be being a coach or a designer or something else. So there's a lot of side hustles within the industry, you know?
Yeah. I think you say niche properly.
Niche.
Because I say niche. So we both have one word where we're very proper. It's funny because like when like Phoebe's around and then like Christine's out here right now from the UK, I feel like such a like dirtbag with how I talk because they're so proper.
I know.
And they're like all proper and I'm like, gosh, I talk so scummy, you know?
Well, you know something? I've asked people from Australia and the UK, like, what do they think of the American accent? And they're like, they like it because it's like cheerful and we have like a lot of inflections, like, oh, wow, like animated voices, right? Like we're always like, oh, yeah, oh,
I think they're really something, you know, about you though.
Well, no. I mean, like, I mean, in general, like we sound cheerful and excited and not just monotone. We're very, oh.
Ashley's like how her voice varies. We have to have her mic turned down, like it'll spike it, and then it's low. It's so funny.
Yeah, I guess I'm more animated than most people when I talk. I guess, like, you know, when I get excited about something, I might. Whoop.
So I think one of the things we talk about too is like, okay, opportunities being created through fitness and how like someone even gets started with that, you know. And I think that the problem is that. This is the problem people run into. And I see this happen all the time. Like, it happened the other day where there was a competitor who, like, was a pretty decent competitor. They actually just turned pro, but they weren't, like, great. They haven't competed yet. They didn't win the overall. They didn't win, like, you know, Mr. USA or anything like that. And they're offered a sponsorship opportunity, and they're like, oh, it's not good enough for me. And I'm like, but you don't have any other sponsorship opportunities right now. So why not just take this one up for a few months, you know, lose your ego for a second and then realize where you're at, because you're not where you think you are, you know what I mean? You're not Mr. Olympia, you know? So like, and you're not getting all these opportunities, like offers, so just take that one. It might lead to something else. They might like you a lot, and then when it comes to renew, like, you get something better, and then as you start competing, you can ask for more if you do better and better. So like, I think that that's a problem too, is you got to get your, you know, foot in the door. If it's something that doesn't seem that great, you know, as long as it's beneficial and it gets your name out there and maybe they're putting you on their social media and it's helping grow your following and your own personal brand, I think that there's nothing wrong with taking those ones and not being too prideful with it. They say, your ego is not your amigo.
Oh, I like
you
that.
You like that? Ego is not your amigo. And so I think that that's one of the things that you've always been really good at and why you get these opportunities now is because you always, I mean, you say yes to a lot of them, you know, and you don't, you know, you're not that girl that's always like, no, I can't do that seminar. No, I can't do this. Like, you're like, you're more like, oh, I really want to make it work. And, you know, so it's that type of thing. And I think because of that, people are willing to call you 2 days in advance to go to Korea, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, it's how you've created those opportunities through yourself has been through a lot of selfless acts too, doing free posing, doing all those little things that add up to more opportunities, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
I try to be very aware of like that, you know, and being reliable, I think is a big thing too. Like, I always try to be as professional as I can when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because I want to be a good, I guess, spokesperson for the industry. And hopefully people think of me when they need someone that's reliable and on time and would be a good fit for a certain opportunity. And, you know, I think I'm really good at that. I think you can depend on me. I think, like, a lot of people around me would say the same. Like, she's very dependable. Because there's a lot of flaky people out there, and I never get it. I just don't get it. And the same thing with the taking up other sponsorships, too. Like, the ego thing is, it's almost like they think, some people think they're too good or something. You know what I mean? And, that kind of irritates me, too, because, I mean, there's even some pros that are, you know, really good, and they don't even have sponsorships, right? And we don't know the story behind that. Maybe nothing got offered to them, or maybe there was a scenario they didn't think, like, their expectations for a sponsorship was much higher than what they were offered. I mean, we'll never know the answer to that, but, you know, I think a lot of people, once they turn pro, they think that's the, like, things are just going to start rolling out for them, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, you got a pro card, and then all these opportunities are going to come your way. Yeah. And you got to be a little more proactive than that, and you got to be a little bit patient, okay? Because, like I said, there's even top pros now that don't even have sponsorships. And, you know, and even if you're an amateur, you can still technically get a sponsorship. It's much harder. I mean, I always like to say there's three ways you can get, like, a sponsorship, right? Either you have to, like, know someone that works for the company, maybe the friend or a family member, and they can get you in that way. Or maybe you are a social media star. You know, you have a good following on Instagram or YouTube or whatever the case may be, and a brand would like you for that. Or you can be a really good athlete and make a name in the industry for being successful in your competitions. So, you know, those are three main ways you can get. I mean, I think technically there's a fourth way. Sometimes they have those like vote for me things. I hate that, because people like slide into your DM, can you vote for me? And you don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
It's annoying. But that's, I guess, technically another way if you win like one of those sponsorships for voting. But one of those four things. So, I mean, if you're just a fresh pro, you just turned pro, or if you're not even pro yet, don't expect things to happen for you if you won like a local show, you know. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's a very small speck on the scale, right? It's just like, maybe you'll get noticed, maybe you never know. But be patient, and kind of, even when I say be proactive, if there's a brand you really believe in, you know, reach out to them and be like, hey, do you need any brand ambassadors for any local expos or something? Don't come and say, hey, will you sponsor me? Yeah. Be like, hey, do you need help with an expo? Like, hey, the Arnold Classic's in town, and I'm from Ohio. Would you need any help with booths this year? You know what I mean? At least make yourself known in that way. Because it's, I think a lot of people expect the world to notice their win.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's one of many wins of the weekend.
Yeah. Sometimes there's 10 shows in a weekend.
Exactly.
Easily.
Yes.
So, and I think, you know, another thing you do is, you know, tag them in your pics and whatnot, get them start noticing you. You might get a repost or whatever. But, yeah, so I think that the opportunities that it creates and what it can do for your life is just really cool, and it's always underestimated. Because you get a lot of girls who will, like, just a lot of people in general who will, like, bash it because they never made it. And I'm like, no, it's not that it's not great. It's just that you never made it. Like, you gave it 2 years and stopped. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. You run into that, and then that's the story you hear. You know, like, no, you can do really, really well. You get a lot of opportunities. You can make a great living. And I'm always, like, pushing it for – I'm always pushing people to, like, be aware of that, because I think it's – well, I had a few people that have reached out to me that have said that they've left their job to be, you know, a trainer and whatnot. I think that's really cool. Hopefully it worked out. You know, I haven't heard the follow-up. If you guys are watching this, let me know. Hopefully it worked out. they still got a phone. They can reach out. They lost everything. it's really cool. And I like to talk about those, like, opportunities, too, because I've been quite a few places, not as many as you, but just so many places, and so many gyms have offered for me to fly me to their gym to do a posing seminar and things like that. And usually I'll get like a small things, you know, they'll cover my flight, give me a little bit of money for the seminars, but put me in the hotel for the whole weekend. I get to meet a whole bunch of new people. And it's just really cool, like opportunities that come along, you know. Yeah. I think it's super cool, you know.
Definitely.
Like, especially like this meeting people that are super into it. And
even if you're not like, even if it's a thing like a seminar, even if you're not getting paid or something for it, it doesn't always have to be like that. Yeah. I just like the experience of meeting people and the feeling of being able to help, you know, athletes coming up and making their day by just meeting them. I think that's awesome. And to me, that's, you know, worth it. Yeah. And I don't necessarily look for money, but you know, I also think there's an element of like just giving back to the industry too, for the industry that's helped me so much. And I'm doing what I love and I'm living the dream, doing all these cool things. So there's that too. And I'm sure you feel the same way because yeah. We both kind of do it, you know, we're just like, hey, this is a great opportunity to meet people and it's fun. And
I've done
it's motivating
free
for me.
Seminar of posing. I was doing this math the other day. 9 to 10 months out of the year for the last 9 years, every Saturday. I was like, man, how many posing classes have we done? I was trying to talk to Tori about it. I was like, how many posing classes? Like, I think we're in the thousands at this point of like free posing classes. So, yeah, but I don't know. I always like that. Next year, and just so you guys know, in Vegas, next year, if everything goes the way we want it to go, we're going to do something really cool for our posing classes. And it's actually not just for Vegas people, but for people that are bordering the states, because we had posing classes like almost every weekend for the last year, and now there's no show, so we're stopping for right now. We'll start back up like either late February or March. We'll put a date out, but I'm building a fenced in area in the gym. We're going to get some more equipment in that fenced in area. We're going to have some more equipment as well, so we'll have like an outdoor area. It's pretty large outdoor area. It's like 2500 feet or so in the outdoor area. And then we're going to start doing posing like once a month, but we're going to make it like an event. We're going to have, you know, obviously a bunch of posing coaches. We'll have like beginner and advanced, like bikini posing coaches, but we're going to have like a barbecue that one day of the month. We'll have an open gym. It'll be like a cool thing. So I think it's gonna be more fun that way.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Can't wait for the barbecue.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I usually do the grilling. It's pretty fun. I have a good time with it.
I'll bring the sides.
Yeah, well, now we have a backyard, so we can bring barbecue, you know? So it's super cool. So that's fun stuff. And that's another example of like in the community, like what it creates. You know, I'm gonna meet new people, I'm gonna make new friends, you know. Hopefully I won't burn too many burgers. probably turkey burgers are really extra lean 96-pound ground beef. I'll probably end up with a meat sponsor by the end of it.
Oh, trifecta.
Trifecta.
We're just going to use the trifecta put on the grill.
Probably, yeah. That's another example too, like trifecta. Like, I haven't paid for food for 2+ years, maybe 3 years now, has it been?
Yeah.
With trifecta. And so like, and awesome, if you guys do need a meal prep service, honestly, Trifecta is really good. They sponsor both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like all the little things. I think it's really cool. And I hope that you guys like use your hard work in the gym, put a little bit of hard work outside of the gym into finding these opportunities for yourself. And then, you know, hopefully you can end up like Ashley traveling the world.
Yeah.
You know? Half of me really wishes I did that one. And then half of me is like, the only thing is, I'm glad I got sick only because I could say, well, no matter what, I couldn't have done it. but that was miserable being that sick.
Yeah, my gosh.
I lost 16 pounds. 16 pounds. I got a lot of it back, though, already. Mm. Like, it's been 2 weeks I've been lifting hard and, like, 2 weeks I've been lifting hard and eating right again. And I put on a good amount. But I was 16. I couldn't believe it. I was all sucked up. I felt so bad.
It'd be like, are you prepping for a show, bro?
It's funny. What's really
not the cheeks.
But that's what's so funny. Laura Lee was texting me too, and she was like, "I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you." And I'm like, "Don't worry, I'm fine." I'm like, "But I look at my face," and I said to her, "My face." She's like, "Oh my gosh, your gorgeous full cheeks."
I have the cheek envy from you. You have the voluptuous cheeks, face cheeks.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying.
Just in case, because I would say I have the voluptuous like booty cheeks.
You have the booty cheeks,
but you have the voluptuous face cheeks, and I'm always envious because they're very round and they got the dimples. And I'm like, dang man, I kind of want that. I just want to be like, those are cheek goals, you know?
Cheek goals. My mom and her Mayan descent. So what would you like to add to this, Ash?
I think, like, it's important to realize, and this is, like, kind of a little bit of a sidetrack, but, you know, as I get, you've kind of touched on, like, getting, like, freebies and stuff like that from, like, opportunities and being successful in the industry, but I think a lot of times, whenever you do get all these opportunities and sponsorships and things like that, if it starts happening, and I find that a lot of people start getting used to that feeling and then expecting more and more and more. And there's some, you know, reason to that. You know, as you get more successful, you probably get better deals and stuff like that. But I think, like, a lot of times people let that get to their head too much, and they forget, like, how they got started and who helped them get started, right? And I always like to say, I've used this reference a few times, I believe, but, you know, my first sponsorship was with Liquid Sun Rays, okay? And it was for free spray tans, okay? And this was, like, when I first turned pro. And the feeling of that, I was like, oh, my gosh, free spray tans. Oh, my God. I was like, on cloud nine, I was, like, so proud. And I'm still so proud. But, like, you know, that was, like, the first of many. And, you know, now I have that and then some. But I never forget that feeling of, like, my first, like, sponsorship.
Yeah.
And I'm still with them to this day because I love them so much. And they're so good to me. And they spray me so well. But it's, like, I feel like a lot of times, you know, the pros and they just... they get a little egotistical when it comes to that, you know, because they think, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm, you know, I got this, and now I can leverage that. And I think it's important to realize who you started with and what that feeling was like. And don't get used to the feeling of, like, getting these great opportunities, you know. It's like, don't get used to that feeling. Just appreciate everything and be grateful, because that's really going to keep you, I guess, in check and moving forward and excited about everything instead of expecting so much.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if you have that mindset, it's much better, because it's like, you know, I know sometimes people will take that as, like, know your worth. Oh, you should know your worth. But at the same time, like, know where you started and know how you got started and who you started with and how they helped you. And never forget that, because a lot of times people do, and it's sad. Even maybe it's like with a coach or something that helped them start out, and they found success with that, you know, maybe as a trainer or whatever. And then they go and they forget. I don't think it's, I don't know. It just kind of, I hate that.
Yeah.
Just know where you started and
I think that's
and everyone cool. that helped you along the way.
I think that makes you, you know, you too, and people appreciate that because you have humility. You know, and then especially when it comes to, like, competing, you have a lot of humility, and you never expect to win, and you don't have that ego, even though you're the most winning pro, you know, of all time. You guys, we should talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so another thing that happened in Europe is Ashley got her 30th
Woo.
Pro win. That is the all-time record, not for just
Holy
bikini,
crap.
But for every division, all of them combined. Like, there is no one who's ever got to 30 pro wins. You know, the Dexter Jackson, who's, like, I super admire, he got to 29. Yeah, she just broke that record, so she's the first to 30. This includes Dexter Jackson, Ronnie Coleman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lee Haney, all the names, all these crazy names that you've heard of, you know. I know that these are...
I always got to put the disclaimer,
yes,
though.
Yes, they're bodybuilders.
Bodybuilding is 100 times harder. I'm yes. sorry, bikini girls, but it is.
It
okay,
is.
So much respect to them. Apples and oranges comparison. It's much harder to win a bodybuilding show. but it is kind of cool for the bragging rights.
Yes, it is cool.
So I'll go with female bikini competitor.
I will say, well, I'm always going to say the all-time most winning, but here's the thing that you don't take into account when this is your humility again. Just to make it more apples to apples, bikini girl, no matter, you can look the exact same 10 shows in a row and you can win, but if you look the exact same 10 shows in a row, you're probably only going to win 5 of them, because there's always the argument in bikini that, oh, well, she's a little softer than you at this show, and she's a little harder than you at this show. You should have been harder. You should have been softer. So you have that in bikini, and you're going to run into that more than anyone because you compete more often, you know. You're going to get, you know, there's going to be that I was telling you earlier, you know, if you compete 15 times in a year, even though you're, you know, currently number three, the number one American, and most winning of all time, you could look perfect and you could still lose in bikini. You can't look perfect and be with your resume, be number three in the world and lose in bodybuilding. It's very, very rare because that guy's the biggest, leanest, most symmetrical. He's going to win, you know, unless he just shows up off. He's not going to lose to someone who's ranked 15th. A bikini girl very easily can, and it's very common, actually. It's not uncommon at all. Laura Lee and Jennifer got third and fourth at the Tampa the same year they got first and second at the Olympia. You know what I mean? So that's the one thing that I will say is the kind of neutralizing factor in bodybuilding in terms of difficulty and getting wins versus bikini and getting wins is that they do offset each other to some degree. I do agree bodybuilding is way harder and what much more is needed.
Oh, yeah, it's harder to maintain for sure as a bodybuilder. With me, we've been maintaining all year.
You've been growing all year. Yeah.
But I will say, too, just to counteract that one last time, there's like five times more bikini shows in comparison to bodybuilding shows. Sure. So there's probably at least one bikini show every weekend. Sometimes there's even two or three in a weekend. But in bodybuilding, it's since the prize money is bigger, it's they're not as common.
Yeah,
and there might be like maybe 15 open bodybuilding shows in a year or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than that, but it's not a lot more than that. It's less. I think it's less than 20. But yeah, it's really hard to get to Olympia with bodybuilding.
Sure.
The guys that get to Olympia with bodybuilding are like, how do you
I'm
do that?
Oh gosh. And it's crazy because like I'm the advocate in a way for that, for men's bodybuilding, because I'm like, you know, gosh, it sucks that there's like less than 20 male bodybuilding competitors at the Olympia, but there'll be like 40 bikini girls, and I'm like, what the heck is this?
This year's
like, come on, come on. You know what I mean? They need to kind of, I'm sorry, they need to even it out a little better, I think, you know?
They started it.
You know, men's bodybuilding started. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't men's bodybuilding.
Yeah,
so.
And you got to appreciate that. That's exactly the same thing, too. Like, I've announced at a few shows before, and I always, when the bodybuilders come out, I always tell everyone, you know, I have the bodybuilders on hold on the stage, and I tell them to relax for a second. I'm like, you guys, everyone wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these guys.
Yeah,
you know, everyone
exactly.
wouldn't be here if it wasn't for bodybuilding, because when I was growing up, you know, actually, when I did my first prep for someone in 2000. That was when I had a guy, you know, win the overall in Orange County, California at the shows, at the bodybuilding show. That's all I could do back then. I didn't have any female bodybuilders. Figure just started. I did have a couple figure, but I was mainly just a bodybuilding coach for years. And the shows back then, if they got to 100, it was crazy. But usually it was like 50 to like 70 people in a show, maybe, you know? And so these promoters even back then that are still around now, they weren't making much money, you know, and that's why everything was at a high school and really small venues and things like that. I mean, some of the venues back then were like my gym, you know, they were like tiny because there was only, you know, 30 people in the show. So it was like, they're tiny. So now we have these big venues and the Olympia is crazy, you know, Olympia was always kind of crazy with like Mandalay Bay back then and stuff. But I mean, even regular show could be so crazy these days because there's so many competitors. I do think it's a little unfortunate with bikini having so many in the Olympia because it does take away from the specialness of it, I think. This year is going to be exceptionally crazy because the Olympia went from October this year and it's going to be in December next year. So we have 14 months for people to qualify for it I think 14 because it cut off, I think, September. So yeah, 14, I think, exact months. So we're going to add two more months, which is, you know, 20% of the schedule, basically. So they're going to have, you know, that would make safe to say, you know, 20%, 15% more competitors than last year doing the show because the shows aren't changing, you know, in between. But yeah, it's a really cool feather in the hat for anyone who does get there. It's still really, really hard, even though it's only, you know, going to be 50 girls this year. It's still going to be really, really hard. It's just painful to get through. It's painful to, sit there and watch 50 posing routines that are one and a half minutes, to get to. Each girl takes about a minute and most girls take about a minute and 10 seconds or so on their posing routine at the pros, but to get them to the stage and announce their name, it's like a minute and a half
and
for each girl.
And everything.
So we're talking an hour plus here.
Oh yeah, and the call outs and stuff like that.
Just for the posing routine.
Yeah, I mean, imagine standing backstage in heels like.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab you after you do your posing routine. We're gonna go eat lunch. go on a little ride, and we'll come back.
Yeah.
For the first call.
Gosh.
Yeah, no, they tried to do it. They tried to do it, and I do commend the Olympia for it too. They tried to like make it where it was only like 25, and you had to go through this like elimination process. But honestly, I do think if you get to Olympia, you should get the whole experience.
Yeah.
You know, they do cut it to the top 10 at night, and I think that's great. I think that's fine. I think they're doing a good job with it. It is just a. But, you know, it's a prestigious thing. I think it should be celebrated, even if
definitely.
Even if you get 50th place, you know, you see a 16.
Exactly. It is. It's the best of the best.
Yeah, you're number 50 in the world. That's still pretty damn good.
Heck
I'm not number 50 in the world. You know, so, anyway, yeah, I'm glad that you're back. It was nice to have you back. It was boring here without you.
Oh.
And it's already, she's already like, look, she's like, take a look at my physique. You think I should compete anytime soon?
I might. We'll see. We'll see. I will be competing like the first show of next year, though, I tell you that.
Yeah, Vegas.
I am so ready. Like, I'm already like, yeah, let's do it.
Vegas in February. So I guess the posing class will be in February then, because that's the Pro-Am show, yeah?
I assume there will be
amateurs,
yeah.
So then we'll do posing again in February, not March.
You better, because I need to practice.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I come to them and practice, too.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, so with fitness just being so great to us, I think we have a couple more podcasts out of this. I think that we could talk about, like, you know, what fitness has like brought to us in our lives too.
Yeah.
And then I think there was another one I had in here from this podcast that I should have said it out loud so I could remember it. I'll remember it when I go home, but it was within the podcast. I was like, it's a whole nother podcast within the podcast. But I'll think about it when we go home, whenever I watch
it. Totally.
but anyway, thank you guys so much for watching us. I don't know, anything else you wanted to say before we took off?
Heck yeah. I mean, I would also want to add, you know, with these opportunities, sometimes they're not going to be the most convenient. Sometimes they're going to be a lot of hard work. And I would say take any opportunity that's going to better yourself. You know, I rarely turn down good opportunities, even if it means I got to be up at 2 a.m. the next day to catch a flight. Early in the morning after just competing, I did that. I did that after the Vegas show to go to Reno. But, you know, if it's going to better you in the long run, go for the opportunities. You know, do all the crazy things. Do all the crazy things. If it's a good opportunity, go for it. Don't let it pass you by. Because if you don't take this opportunity, somebody else will. And I hate the thought of that. I'm like, no one's taking my spot.
You know what? That was the other podcast that I thought about. It was like, what to do when you have the success? Like, how do you stay driven? You know, stay driven. Because I'll tell you this, guys, it's really, really hard. Really, really hard to, like, once you get the success, to stay successful. They say, you know, and if you try to coast, they say the only way you can coast is downhill. That's the only time you can coast is downhill, you know? And it's really hard. It was really hard for me, too. And I think it's something we could talk about in the future, too. Because I accomplished all my goals in within fitness. You know, my goal was, okay, I want before I turn 40 years old, I want to have my building of my gym paid off. I want to have my house paid off. And I want to be able to just, like, if something were to happen, I'll just be able to just train people and still be fine, like, financially. And, you know, and, like, I did that a few years ago. And, like, it steals your drive. You know, it steals your drive because you're, like, driving. And then your drive needs to change to something else. And so I think that's another good one too, because you're really a master of it. You're a master of it more than me. And that's something that I still go through, right? Because now I do my fitness stuff for the community to get wins. Like, I really just chase wins now. Like, I want to win excessively, and I want to prove, I don't know, something to myself, I guess, to like that I'm better than other coaches and stuff. And I do this with they're all my friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we just like, we always like kind of talk shit to each other when it happens. You know? Like, it's like right now, me and James are always talking to each other, you know? It's just so funny. But it's like, it's just, that's my drive now, you know? But it's hard when like all the other stuff gets, and you've gone through so much of that, like with like, you know, you keep, but you're still so driven. You don't have that many fluctuations in drive.
I'm motivated. Cool. I mean, there'll be days where I'm not motivated, right? I'm human. So there'll be days where I'm like, I just really don't feel like working out today. I don't feel like doing cardio. I just want to stay home in my pajamas. But the way I like to think of it is motivation comes and goes. It's a temporary feeling, but your drive and ambition is a longer lasting scenario. Yeah. You know, having ambition is just, it just trumps the freaking motivation, right? So whether you're motivated in that moment or not, you got to think of that bigger goal. Like, you know what? I'm feeling crap today, whatever, but my bigger goal is I want to accomplish this. Even though it's you know, months away or a year away or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, just realizing that if you're not motivated a certain day, it's one day. Yeah. It's a mood. Go to bed, get a good night's sleep. Tomorrow you're probably going to feel much better about it. And you're going to be like, yeah, let's do it. So whether I'm motivated in a certain moment in time or not is kind of irrelevant because I'm super ambitious. Like, oh, I am ambitious. I have not lost that at all. Yeah. In fact, every show I do, I get more driven to compete more because I'm just like, yeah, it. You know what I mean? It's like, because like I said, motivation, it's very temporary. In fact, throughout the day, my motivation, it goes up and down and up and down. Motivation is much higher for me in the morning because I'm a morning person, but in the evening, it's like, meh. You know, but my ambition is just,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, and I see it.
I'm super ambitious.
It's funny because I see it for years of like sustained periods, you know, not for 16 week prep, or I get a girl who's like super motivated for 6 months, you know, and like, but sustained periods. So I think that that could be, you guys tell us, how about that? Put it in the comments below. Which podcast do you want us to do next? We're gonna do it next week. Do you want to do the one we just talked about, the motivation one, or the other one we talked about,
which I already forgot? Or something else. Or just give us suggestions, too.
Yeah, that works, too. So leave it in the comments. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe, because I'm desperate for likes.
We're hungry for clout.
I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for likes, bro.
Oh, yes. Thirsty.
That's the funniest thing I think you've ever said.
Still, thirsty for likes.
Because I never heard the term thirsty for likes. And we had a mutual friend, and he was like, hey, you didn't tag me in that photo. She's like, you're thirsty for likes, bro. It was so funny. And I never heard the word thirsty. I don't know if I ever laughed at something so hard that you said before, but that was like, I say it so much now. Thirsty for likes, bro. Anyway, thanks you guys so much, and talk to you later.
Bye.